When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to TMZ Live. Harvey Levin here.
Charles here.
So Alec Baldwin showed, I think, remarkable restraint.
Absolutely. Up to a point.
But even the point, I gotta say, he was harassed like crazy at a coffee shop in New York City by a woman who, on the surface, was simply a pro-Palestinian demonstrator.
No.
But she was out to get this guy.
She had a mission when she saw Alec Baldwin and went about it. And I gotta say, Alec Baldwin, like you said, was calm up to a point, and then it got a little violent. But watch how this all plays out. It's hard to argue with what Alec Baldwin did here.
Absolutely.
But here's how it played out.
Alec, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec?
I'm sorry.
No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. Just one time. Please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Israel. Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Could you do me one quick favor?
Well, I gotta say, he could have walked away. You could just see him simmering to a boil
I
there.
I thought he was walking away when he opened the door.
He was. And then you saw him get triggered.
But then it was more like, she was opening the door hoping she was gonna leave.
Awful. And I gotta say, what's going on in this coffee shop that you can walk in there and nobody does anything?
There was one employee there who seemed like he was
trying to intervene,
but then walked away.
And then walked away.
Well, we got a statement from this woman, and she's telling us that she's doubling down. She is not apologizing at all. And to your guys' point, if I'm at this coffee shop, I don't know what you're supposed to do here other than, I guess, maybe call the police. But you don't want to get physical. Clearly, Alec Baldwin misstepped a little by smacking her. But at the same time,
he smacked her phone.
Yeah. The phone out
okay,
ran,
but right. At the same time, you know, Baldwin should have restrained himself a little bit. I don't know if he can really get in trouble given the fact that she was so in
he's
his
not
face.
Gonna, he's not going to get in any trouble. But I got to say, it is technically, legally wrong to hit the phone.
If she wanted to, she could go file a police report.
Oh, and nobody's going to do anything.
And they're probably not going to look at it.
But I got to say, good on Alec. I'm sorry. Good on
Alec. You can go so far to say good on Alec.
I really mean it. That was disgusting what she did.
Hi, this is Brandy Blanton from Dayton, Ohio, and I just find this whole scenario to be wild. Like, I can't imagine going up to someone I don't even know and acting that way to them. Or can you imagine what it's like having someone come up to you that you don't know acting that way to you? So while I feel this person was completely out of line, he should not have smacked the phone. That never seems to end well for anyone.
Yeah. But again,
as the video was playing out, I was like, "Oh, he's gonna
walk out.
He's gonna walk away. He's not. Wow, Alec's really he's learning."
But then when he just stands at the door for a minute,
he stared, you're like, "Yeah, it's
like you see the boiling."
Yeah.
Okay, we are gonna move on.
Yes.
Sort of.
In a similar note here, talking about what's going on the campus at Columbia University, as the pro-Palestinian protests continue,
and I want to just say. In some ways, the pro-Hamas...
some of the things that are being said are very clearly pro-Hamas. And there are people calling for the president of the university to resign.
On both sides, actually.
Because nothing's being done.
Nothing's being done either way.
So joining us now to talk about what Columbia does about the situation is someone who is a former Columbia professor, our good friend Mark Lamont Hill, joining us now to talk about the protests and what can be done. Mark, welcome back to Team Z Live.
Hey, Mark.
Good to see you guys.
So, Mark, I know you have a had a speaking engagement at Columbia that was scheduled for tomorrow. You've now canceled that. Why?
I couldn't in good conscience give a lecture or a speech there and accept an award for racial justice while walking across a campus where students are being harassed, where students are being arrested, where students are being suspended. There's just too much going on there. And I don't believe that the university president, the university administration, and certainly not the police, have acted in a way that reflects any kind of respect for the students or for free speech.
So let me ask you something about that, Mark. And by the way, I want to preface it by saying I absolutely love you. and you know, we've...
Well, that's not a good setup.
No,
I mean, everybody knows.
There is a but coming. But sure. So here's my issue. And I just want to put it on the table and see what you think. I'm all for free speech. And, you know, if people want to demonstrate free Palestine, I get it. If people want to talk about what the Israeli government is doing and protest that, I get it. When people start saying, I want 1,000 more
October 7th,
when they are not only pushing Hamas, but targeting Jewish students on campus and threatening them, students who pay tuition where the university has a responsibility, that's out of bounds for me. And free speech has its limits. That goes beyond the limit for me. What say you?
We agree. One of the things we're criticizing Israel for right now, though, is collective punishment. You're mad at Hamas and you punish all the people. It's illegal. It's against international law. Similarly, if a few students, a handful of students are doing something inappropriate, they're doing something that goes beyond the boundaries of free speech, I agree. Right? That's not representative, though, of the broader public. And we can't crack down on all students as an act of collective punishment against the few that we disagree with. You know, I've spent a lot of time on that campus. I spend a lot of time on that campus. I've spoken to a lot of the students. And what I'm seeing from the students is most are peaceful. Most are speaking out against Israel. Most are speaking out against the genocide in Gaza. And, you know, I saw one or two clips of Jewish students being blocked from walking and stuff like that. That should never happen. And anyone who says they want to see another October 7th, that is despicable and deplorable. That also shouldn't happen. But I don't want to hold the entire campus accountable for the actions of a few people. And as awful, as abhorrent as things, as some things are to us, free speech is free speech until it creates a campus climate that makes people feel unsafe. And what you described makes people feel unsafe. I just don't think that's the norm.
Well, but there, you know, there are Jewish students who have been advised to leave Columbia. There's a professor there
who's being blocked from, they've taken his credentials.
For his safety.
For his safety, saying that you can't come on campus for your safety. I know you said you spent time there talking to the students. Is the environment that heated that a Jewish professor can't walk on campus now?
Well, to be clear, that professor you're referring to has 50 complaints against him from students, that he has targeted them, that he has harassed them, that he has been deeply problematic to the student body for a very long time.
How so?
Again, it's anti-Arab comments, anti-Muslim comments, reporting students, surveilling students, making students feel unsafe. I mean, the Columbia students have a very deep and long record of complaints against this professor. There are 50 of them. So again, I can't say that he doesn't feel unsafe. I'm just saying the story is a little more complicated than one might think. But no one should be made to feel unsafe on campus. You know, I guess just yesterday they went virtual to calm down some of the violence or some of the tension. I hate that that's the case. College is about sociality. It's about connecting with people. It's about diversity. And I hate that this is happening. I don't doubt that there are Jewish students who feel unsafe. We need to do something about that. I don't doubt that anti-Semitism is on the rise.
What do you do? I mean, anti-Semitism has exploded. And
what should the president do?
Well, the president's on the chopping block now, too. But, you know, Mark, I got to say that when people are talking about celebrating Hamas, if you substituted any other group, not Jews, but if you put blacks or Hispanics or migrants, and you had protests like this, do you think it would be the same?
Well, I would disagree with the premise of the question. Again, I've been on the campus for those protests. In fact, I'm headed there in a few minutes to go to one. And the people there aren't celebrating Hamas. Your question presumes that the people there who are asking the questions and protesting are doing it in the service of Hamas. What they're doing it in the service of is ending the war. They're doing it in the service of stopping a genocide. And that's the premise. And so I think that if you were to go on a campus and see anti-war movements anywhere, I think I'd hope that we'd allow free speech for it. Now, I agree with you that sometimes people march for things and causes and people that we don't agree with. Lots of college campuses had MAGA hats. Lots of college campuses had white nationalist evangelicals. And I think they're anti-Semitic. I think they're racist. I don't want them on my campus, but they have a right to free speech until they cause harm or create a campus climate that threatens others. That is unacceptable. The problem, though, I think, guys, is that for a very long time, we have conflated critiques of Israel with anti-Semitism. And we have to tease those two things out because there are some people who feel that any criticism of Israel is as such anti-Semitic. And so then they feel unsafe and they feel as if they are being threatened simply because
people don't. Yeah, but this has gone way beyond that. You know that.
I'm saying it's not the norm. Again, we agree that there are some instances. But again, when you look at the hundreds and thousands of people out there, they're not doing the thing you're describing. A few are. And again, I don't want to collectively punish all of them. I don't advocate what happened on October 7th. I think that it was an awful, despicable war crime to kill innocent people and to kidnap innocent people. And I have deep sympathy for that. But I also understand that history didn't start on October 7th and it didn't end on October 8th. And so we have to have the capacity to support or fight, rather. We have to fight all the forces of evil around the world. We have to fight against anti-Semitism, but we also have to fight what's going on against the Gazan people right now. And we have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think that's what we have to do on the campus at the same as well. Defend the Jewish students, fight anti-Semitism with every inch of our being, but also do this other thing.
Well, we don't see eye to eye in this one, but I got to say, Mark is on our documentary for that we're doing on Diddy that drops Sunday on Tubi. He is phenomenal in this documentary. You are
amazing,
so good.
Yeah.
I was actually bragging yesterday that we got you for the documentary. So you are amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait for you to see it.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to promote it. I appreciate it, man. Thank you all for having me as always. And even we don't agree, we're still friends, man. I love y'all.
Absolutely. Right back
Mark.
At you.
All right, man.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
Well, Kanye West may be helping the LAPD investigation into his alleged battery by speaking out.
No, you're absolutely right. You're so right.
You know, like when lawyers say, like, don't
shut up,
don't say anything.
Shut up.
Kanye did not practice that. He went on a podcast. It's called The Download with Justin LaBoy, and they opened up by talking about.
We should explain
what happened on last week.
He was at the Chateau Marmont. And he claimed that a guy went up under the dress of his wife, Bianca, and he punched the guy in self-defense.
Right.
That's not exactly the way witnesses said it, but this is what Kanye said.
This guy just grabbed my wife, and then she just, I didn't see it directly, and she started just explaining to me what happened. So then I walked over and found him, and then I'm talking to security, different security, like, Not just the security that'd be with me, but other security, like, okay, let's get this guy just escorted out or something. You know, it's like, look, man, I just don't want to. And I talked to the guy. I said, yo, I need you to just need to leave right now. He's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's like, no, it's not okay. It wasn't okay. Then he saw it wasn't okay. He had to go to bed early, tucked his in.
Well, I mean, he didn't exactly say what he did, but what's interesting
when saying
is
he had to go to bed early and I tucked him in, meaning knocked him out.
Well,
right. Knocked him out.
I guess you could put two and two together. But what's interesting, though, is you remember when we, you know, got this story that he had punched this guy in the face. His team came back to us right away with a statement that essentially said, you know, this guy, you know, sexually assaulted his wife, but they never denied that he punched someone in the face.
Yeah, they hadn't denied it, and now he's as much as
well. It's way more complicated than that because it turns out that the guy, there was a lapse in time here. That
which he's acknowledging there. He's saying that I didn't see it. She came over and told me.
Right, but we're talking, what, Devin, 5 minutes?
Yeah, something like that. And the other thing that isn't really adding up is, you know, cops are telling us that they don't have any evidence that really backs that one of these brothers sexually assaulted her or touched her.
That somebody brushed her, they say.
We're hearing it was more like a crowded hotel thing where, yeah, he kind of bumped into her. And clearly this kind of could have been a game of telephone where she told Kanye what happened.
Here's where the plot thickens. So the guy who brushed against her is a twin.
Yes.
And his other twin, these are the Houston brothers.
They're restaurant owners here in Los Angeles.
Big restaurant owners.
Yes.
So they were at a table. They had walked away. They didn't know anything was going on. And both of them are at a table. And when Kanye came over, according to our sources, Kanye hit the wrong twin.
He hit the wrong twin.
So
we're uncertain which twin is alleged to have even bumped into Bianca.
Even if it happened the way Kanye said,
because there's a lapse of time, it's no longer self-defense.
You can't do it, and hitting the wrong guy makes it even worse. But the witnesses, Devin, I believe the witnesses and the cops told us there was no evidence that the guy assaulted this woman.
Exactly, and it seems to be more just that he might have brushed into Bianca or accidentally ran into her. But is there any twin defense in the law? It's like they're the same person. Look at them.
I called a criminal defense lawyer on that the other day. We were kind of laughing about it. That not a good defense. Not a good defense.
Because in order to get to that defense, you're admitting that you actually hit someone.
That's right. That's right.
Hi, my name is Angela Pinkston from Staten Island, New York. And Kanye allegedly punched out a man, part of a twin, and he didn't know which twin actually touched his wife. If you didn't know which one touched his wife, then you shouldn't punch just random guys like that. That's, you know, it's crazy. I don't understand it.
We are going to move on.
Yes, to a big special, something we are very proud of here. You know what? You actually did a good job here.
Wow. I got a compliment.
Look at this. You know what? You might make it in this business. Harvey sat down with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. It is airing tonight on Fox, 8 o'clock, 7 Central. And what a fascinating conversation. The things that you learned, not only about their rivalry, but about their friendship now. And I really loved this question in particular. Because these two guys, this is the reason you wanted to talk to them. They are
top of the heap.
Top of the heap when it comes to action heroes in Hollywood. And the question that you pose to them is the Mount Rushmore. This is something that whenever you're talking, you hear it a lot in music and certainly in movies. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of action heroes in this instance? Now, you put them on, they're locked in, right?
Of course.
Right. So you got two slots left. Here's what they said.
If there is a Mount Rushmore of action heroes, you have two of the four spots. I think everybody agrees with that. Who are the other two?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
I would put Clint on it. Clint Eastwood was always my hero, my inspiration. He was one of those guys, just like Rich right. Park in bodybuilding, that
right.
spent time with me and talked to
right.
me. The fourth guy you have to come up with. I think I already came up with one.
I think it goes to Bruce. See, he's a very multifaceted guy. He can do drama and comedy and whatever, and all the same. But he was in quite a few seminal action films that really, like Die Hard's a classic, and those things don't go away.
I just got to say.
I like both picks.
I like both picks. You know what? I don't know that I would have thought of that immediately the way they did.
Yeah.
But then again, they're action stars on Mount Rushmore.
Right. So we don't think about it the same way they do.
I love both of the picks. I think the Clint one is really thoughtful. People forget about Dirty Harry and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He was really an action star in his day. But the Bruce Willis pick is incredible because Bruce Willis was seen as an antidote to the Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sly Stallone dominance in the 80s. He was sort of an everyman action hero. So really just a thoughtful answer from both guys.
Yeah, I think I told you the story. But this goes back for me to 1976. I had just come back to L.A. and I was practicing law. And I worked out of this gym in Hollywood. And there was this dude there that I talked to.
Italian dude?
Yeah, and we talked when we were there together. And on a Friday, I talked to him. And then on Monday, he was the biggest star in the world because Rocky came out that weekend. It was Sly. And then all these years later, I now work out at Arnold's gym. And so I thought, putting the two together, knowing this intense rivalry where they weren't just competitors, they tried to topple each other to basically sandbag their careers. They were so intensely competitive. And then they've had this beautiful friendship. So I got to say, this is maybe my favorite thing I've done.
It's
my favorite thing I've done.
Yeah. Well, it is on tonight on Fox, 8 o'clock, 7 Central, Arnold and Sly, rivals, friends, icons. Really awesome. Well, Kyle Richards is getting some strong support from a former Real Housewife, Lisa Vanderpump. She was sitting down with Parade Magazine, and they brought up this story that came out a few days ago that a report that's claiming Kyle Richards, that the producers are basically forcing Kyle Richards to talk about her relationship with Morgan Wade, whatever it may be. They have both insisted that they are just very good friends. But if she doesn't talk about it on the next season of Real Housewives, they're going to cut her from the
show.
And
we know that's not true.
There's no way they're going to get Kyle Richards.
We actually know that's not true.
Right.
So, but the story's out there. So the interviewer asked Lisa, What you thought about the whole thing. Boy, did she deliver.
Daily Mail is reporting that Kyle Richards will not be able to return to the show unless she comes public about her relationship with Morgan Wade. Do you have any thoughts on that? No.
Why do we have to know about a relationship? I don't want to know who's on anything. I don't care. How about that? I don't care. Like, do what you gotta do and keep it to yourself. Okay?
Harvey, you and I, we have had this conversation. One, there's no way Beverly Hills producers are getting rid of Kyle. She's been on the show since the beginning, the very beginning. I'm sure she makes a very nice paycheck. And you have to remember that Beverly Hills is the number one rated Housewives show that's on the air right now. In fact, last season was one of their higher rated ones. Why are they going to switch up the cast?
They're not getting rid of her. We know that.
Yeah.
God, I wish we could have played what we bleeped. Because it's hysterical.
Check it out on the website.
Check it out on the website. It's really, really, really funny.
It is what we've come to expect from Lisa.
Yep.
Someone who does not pull punches and just says whatever she's thinking.
She calls people on the carpet.
Oh. Or hardwood floors.
Hi, I'm Selena. I'm from New York. And I agree. Who cares who Kyle's dating? Kyle's a 55-year-old woman who's been married most of her life. So this is all new to her. Trying to force someone to out themselves when they aren't really sure themselves isn't fair. The show wouldn't be the same without her. And I highly doubt that they're going to get rid of her.
They're not going to get rid of her.
Now, the one thing I disagree with Lisa on is that people on the show should not talk about their relationships, because then it's going to be a pretty boring...
That's what the show's about.
Right.
Okay. Well, Kim Kardashian made an appearance last night.
And she was opening up about something.
It's just not what everybody wanted to hear.
Yeah, and maybe that's by design. But she was on Jimmy Kimmel last night and talked about some wild rumors about her and addressed some of them. So here's what she had to say, and we'll get into what she did not say, and I think it was intentional.
I have some things that are kind of interesting I want to run by you, and you tell me if they're true or false.
Okay.
You mind? All right.
Sure.
Is it true you blow dry your jewelry before you put it on?
Very true.
Why do you do that?
Because I hate being freezing, and when you put on cold jewelry or, like, anything with a zipper, I need it warm.
You wash your feet every night before getting into bed?
I do.
Good. You sleep with your eyes slightly open.
I do.
You celebrated your 14th birthday at Neverland Ranch.
I did.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah. Wow. You have someone take the Starbucks sleeve off your coffee because you hate the sound of cardboard.
Yes, that's true. And I hate the feeling.
You can change a tire?
I can.
Who taught you?
Probably my stepdad.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow.
I've had to do it.
Well, the Taylor Swift question.
Where was the Taylor Swift question? That must have run out of time. Apologies to Matt Damon, but we could not get to.
I am guessing that was out of bounds for the interview. But look.
Yes, because all those questions, that was all planned out.
And we should just say, to review. So Taylor, honestly, Kim did Taylor dirty.
Way back in the day
when Kanye's famous song where they secretly recorded her and they put an edited version online, blah, blah, blah. So Taylor has now come back in this new album and basically called her a high school bully.
Right.
Kim's never apologized. I want to hear about that.
Right. And how that wasn't discussed.
I
think that was intentional, that Kim is trying to misdirect everyone away from the Taylor story.
Yeah. There's a part of me that feels like Jimmy Kimmel had some questions about Taylor Swift ready, because the questions that they asked her about rumors about her online, these are all very stupid and very boring. Oh, I take the plastic off of a coffee cup. Like, I don't want to know that about Kim. I want to know some of the nitty-gritty things about her and her sisters. Exactly. So I think this is probably like a last-minute thing. They probably went to Google, the producers, scrambling to figure out to divert away from Taylor Swift.
I think Kim's people did not want... I don't know. Look, I have no idea. But I want to hear from her, because remember, she has refused to apologize.
Right.
She has refused to apologize. To be continued, folks, we're going to take a break.
All right. When we come back, Quavo responds to Chris Brown. You know that Chris Brown had a diss track where he basically said, everyone wishes you were dead, Quavo, and not Takeoff? Well, Quavo's response is equally violent, and there are a lot of concerns in music that this beef is gonna not just be on records, it's gonna be in the streets. Welcome back to TMZ Live, one of the most heated feuds in music right now. Actually, not one of the most, it is the most heated feud between Chris Brown and Quavo. And this all started really over the fact that they both used to date Karrueche Tran, and they have feelings about that. And they've gone back and forth at each other. They actually were seated next to each other earlier this year at a fashion show. They were both really ticked off that someone had done that in the seating chart and put them next to each other.
It's almost intentional, right?
Yeah, and ever since then, there's been this heated beef that is just getting worse and worse. Told you Chris Brown had put out a diss track over the weekend called Weakest Link, where he went right at Quavo. Said, I think this is the one that pushed this over the edge. He said that everyone wishes you were the one who was dead, Quavo, not Takeoff.
Yeah.
Well, Quavo has now responded, and there is no bones about it. He is threatening Chris Brown with violence, if not outright death. Here is his response, a song that's called, Over Hoes and Bitches.
Little bitch, come dance, battle with my Drake. You been your bag up when you punch Ree in the face. Talking about fashion week, you sparing who? Come punch me in my face. It ain't nothing but a fade. You know you lost to Frank Ocean. Ran in your house, tied up your aunt, cause you ain't pay. This bullet got your name. Don't ever bring up Tate.
Yeah, guys, I mean, the consensus is, you know, Quavo needs to hit the drawing board and, you know, draw up another one, because this wasn't it. You can't name a diss song in hip-hop that isn't violent, that doesn't escalate things, but, you know, on a musical standpoint, you know, the people really aren't feeling it.
This bullet's got your name.
Yeah.
That's almost, I gotta say.
Yeah, Chris, he took it personal. It's not artistic. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. But also, Chris made it personal, but I guess the feeling is from fans that at least Chris's was a better song. Chris actually responded not with another song, but he heard Quavo's song and he said, Google raps, that blank is poo. Damn, and I was excited. That blank don't even need a response. Takeoff raps better.
If the song was effective, Chris would have been in the lab responding. He wouldn't be joking around.
Right.
You know, like there was no threat to, you know, him losing the battle with Quavo releasing this song.
Yeah. Look, the fact that Chris laughed it off, that brings the temperature down.
There's a difference between what Chris said and what Quavo said, because what Chris said was, I wish it were you rather than Takeoff, which is terrible, but that's in the past. Saying there's a bullet for you is in the present and the future.
Right.
And that's more ominous, I think.
I'm Danielle from Texas. And everyone's focused on who won the rap battle. But the bigger picture is that Chris Brown is out of line for starting this over someone he hasn't been with in over 10 years. In my personal opinion, I feel like it's giving Fatal Attraction. Quavo made it clear that he involved himself in the rap battle, but he's not into it.
Those are good points.
Yeah.
Those are actually really good points.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move on.
Yes, to Rebel Wilson, who is now, we're getting our first look at a redacted chapter of her memoir. It was redacted because of...
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because this almost never happens.
Remember, that you actually get to see what was redacted?
Well, not just that. What I'm saying is that, look, she was in a big thing with Sacha Baron Cohen, saying that Sacha Baron Cohen was a and that she had all sorts of things that she had said about him during the filming of the movie. And Sacha Baron Cohen said it never happened.
Right.
And he went to the publisher. Usually
he threatened a lawsuit, I should say. There actually wasn't a lawsuit filed.
But we've seen this before, right, where publishers don't bend on that.
Yeah.
They bend here.
They did. So the publisher decided to redact it in the UK.
Because of privacy laws there and
right, which are much
defamation
there.
Laws.
Yeah. Right.
What's weird about this is that we don't actually know what laws specifically were invoked to get this redacted. Presumably some kind of defamation law or libel law or something. The UK is weird and wonky, even when it comes to their press and media. Luckily for all of us, the story was already out, and the details of her claims were already out, like, well ahead of the book coming out anyway. So she already kind of, like, spilled all the beans about Sacha Baron Cohen, so it doesn't really matter anymore. People can go online and hear the story if they want to hear it. But to Harvey's point, though, it is interesting that Sacha Baron Cohen can kind of claim a little bit of a victory, at least in the UK there, right? Because he and his lawyers did, in fact, demand that they redact it, and they did. So
yeah.
I guess, you know, he kind of wins a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit.
He definitely wins on that part. There is something else in the book that I think that is...
Talk about bearing the lead.
Yeah. I don't know why this didn't get more... Well, I think I know why, because of the royal family. But there is a part in the book where she talks about...
an orgy with a member of the royal
with
family.
With a member of the royal family. Now... The royal family is much bigger than people recognize. We all talk about the senior members, but there are a lot of other people.
Just look at the balcony.
Right, who are part of the royal family. She doesn't say who, but says that someone wanted to have an orgy.
That's right. She
invited
her
to an orgy.
She was here in L.A., and she got invited to some party, some rich tech billionaire on the outskirts of L.A. It was, like, medieval-themed or whatever, and at some point, they start passing out ecstasy, and, like, oh, it's for the orgy, yada, yada, yada. She's a virgin at that point. She leaves. No sex for her at that time. That's it. In terms of who the actual royal is, I can speculate. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to start throwing names. Rebel Wilson didn't name any names, but she did sort of, like, say,
describe.
Oh, it's either the 15th person in line to the throne or the 20th. I'm not really sure. So I think she was trying to be purposely ambiguous. I looked to see who the 15th and 20th people are.
Of course you did.
So again,
of course you
those
did.
Names are there if you want to go look, but we don't know who exactly it was. Some person, moocher on the outskirts of the royal family, whatever.
A moocher?
I mean, that's what these people are. The people that are
you
like
you can say that. You're not a royal subject. That's fine.
Are no longer, you're not really in the royal family. You're just kind of like affiliated at that point.
A moocher.
Catherine Escalera, Elkton, Maryland. I am not a fan of books that have to be redacted after they've been released. What is the truth? Are you being sued? I'd like to know what's going on with the book before I buy it. And
yeah.
This doesn't seem to be what it's cracked up to be.
No, it's a fair point. Is it not true, or is it just the threat of a lawsuit? Seems
just weird because it had all played out by the time the book came out.
That's right.
Maybe the most exciting moment during the NBA playoffs last night happened in the stands. And that's saying a lot, considering
how... After the game.
Considering how the Lakers and Nuggets game ended and also how the Knicks and Sixers game ended, both with buzzer-beater shots. But in the stands in Denver, Nikola Jokic, who is considered, everyone says, the best player in the league, maybe in the world. Two of his brothers were in the stands with his wife. They're watching the game. They're cheering on the Nuggets. And there was a dispute with a fan. Now, a lot of people online are saying that this guy was a Lakers fan, may have been heckling Nikola's wife. And his brothers decided to step in. You saw in that photo that his brothers,
it's
obviously
huge.
Nikola Jokic is a very large man. His brothers might be bigger. And when this guy was heckling, they decided to do something about it. Watch how this guy takes a punch.
God.
Ooh. How did he stand?
Wow. How is he standing?
That's crazy.
I was shocked too because, like you said,
Nikola
is a little taller, but his brothers are certainly bigger and stockier. And
His brother's a scary looking man. He might be the nicest guy in the world, I don't know, but he is a scary looking dude, and that fan ate the punch. So now here's where we're at.
I know he stood there and he ate the punch, as you said, but
yeah. He's gotta be
gotta know what that guy looks like today.
I'm sure he's you know, black and blues and
he's gotta have a concussion.
Did he file a police report?
No, so here's where we're at, Harvey. He has not filed a police report. There was no incident report filed by anybody last night, but the police have obviously became aware of this with all the stories. They are seeking out the fan. They want him to come forward. In the meantime, they're looking at a video footage and they're trying to identify him themselves. Not just that. And Nikola Jokic, obviously, he wasn't involved.
But
The NBA is also investigating because, look, the Jokic family, they may use credentials and get special privileges from the NBA.
It's not going to affect his brother.
No, not his brother, of course.
But whether or not they can continue to go to
playoffs. Maybe they're not allowed to go
any
games anymore.
Whether they can go to games, right.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough thing for the NBA, though, because the Jokic brothers have a reputation for this. They taunt people all the time. Even Jack Nicholson last year, they waved bye-bye to him after the Lakers got eliminated from the playoffs. You know, those guys, especially Strahinja, he's been arrested in the past for violence. So I think they have a big, tough decision here, especially with Nikola being a face of the league.
You know what? You're right. I mean, how do they allow him back after that? I don't get it. How would they?
I mean, that was brutal, man. And you can't take it just because the guy didn't go down that...
No, he got assaulted.
Yeah,
There's no excuse for any assault. Of this. The fan could have done anything, but as Nikola Jokic's brother, you just can't act that way.
Yeah, you call security. Because you're Jokic's brother, you probably can get security there like that.
Right.
And which is what should have been done.
Well, if this guy has a history of this too, they got to ban him. They just got to ban him.
Aaron from the Bronx, in regards to the Jokic brothers, I truly want to emphasize these guys do not care about the same thing that we all care about. Okay, I need people to hear me on this one. These guys are from a war-torn country. They grew up playing sports with no shoes, no makeshift equipment, and they were brought up on completely different morals than we were. Leave those guys alone. Do not taunt Nikola Jokic or Nikola Jokic's wife or anyone in their family while those two guys are in earshot. They have a reputation for this in the NBA. They put fear in a lot of people in those stands and a lot of players themselves because, again, the Jokic brothers do not care.
Do not make eye contact with them if you are at the same game.
God, no kidding.
Just avoid them.
I just can't believe that guy was standing.
Well, we got Luke Bryan here in L.A.
We should explain something. We just had a power outage, so yes. The sound behind us is either the alarm or there's a Honda that's backing up.
No.
So it's one of
we're
the
on
two.
Backup power, so you may hear some beeping in the back.
Okay.
Yes, so Luke Bryan, he's here in L.A. now, and we got him as he was leaving lunch yesterday. Great timing, because everybody was talking about his big spill during his concert.
It looks brutal to me.
It really...
Oh!
but he was able to make a joke about it pretty quickly, got back up, so we asked him...
We wanted to know if he was the worse for wear, because it looked like a hard fall.
Well, not for Luke Bryan, because he is blessed.
Hey, Luke, great to see you. How you doing? How's your butt?
That's all good.
Yeah. How did you end up falling? Was it a phone? People were...
You know, when the phone was down there, and it was down there. And so whether it was the phone or a slippery stage, it was... But there was a lot of phones down there.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, injuries, you all good?
Got a lot of meat back there.
This is
I love that she panned down.
I know. Hey, he brought it up. You got to show it. That's what you're supposed to do. That's your job.
That's what she has to do. I mean, he brought it up. It's on him. But, you know, this is a great excuse for him to gain a lot of weight because Luke Bryan has a long history of falling off stage all the time, like a dozen times this dude falls. So it's like, babe, I got to get fat to protect myself.
Yeah, exactly. I need the cushion.
God, that is so funny. Oh.
Hi, my name is Lachey Sweeney. I'm from Philadelphia, and I think that did look like a pretty hard fall, but I'm glad he was able to pick himself right back up again and even laugh and joke about it with his fans right after. You know, it's nice to see him be able to laugh at himself and even replay the fall again, because if that was me, I'd have been too embarrassed. I'm glad he's okay.
And we are good.
It's definitely one of those things where you fall, you look around like, did anybody see that? But I guess when you're in the middle of a concert,
yes, everybody saw that. What else you guys want to talk about?
AP from Washington, D.C. She was so brave to approach Alec with a camera. I mean, anybody approaching Alec with a camera is taking a real dare. He's known to dislike anyone with a camera in his face. and he will ruffle your feathers.
Well, that's true, but he was trying to show restraint, right?
Yeah, he tried for a long time.
He tried really hard. Okay, one more.
Hey, my name is Jay Carrington. I'm calling from beautiful Salvador, Brazil, and my comments are on Robert Kraft and Columbia College. Mr. Kraft said that he will not be able to support the college anymore because Jewish students don't feel safe. And I agree that Jewish students should feel safe. But my question is, what about the Palestinian students? What about the Congolese students? I don't hear powerful billionaires standing up for them.
Pretty clever promotion here. Got to hand it to the studio behind Kingdom of Planet of the Apes, because they used Venice Beach. I think they also went to Zuma Beach later in the day.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Long ride for those horses. But well, it is.
Hey, how about the guys in the monkey suits?
That's true. If you think that's bizarre, you haven't been to Venice Beach.
Well, as you can tell in the video, there's a huge crowd. Like, what's going on?
You notice that it's foggy, right?
Yeah.
It's like a little overcast. Gorillas in the mist.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry.
Yes, but they had guys in gorilla suits riding around on horseback. And on Venice Beach, everyone's like, eh.
Okay, one more time. Our special with Sly and Arnold on tonight at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox. TMZ presents Arnold and Sly, rivals, friends, icons. It's on tonight. I hope you like it. This was a passion project. We'll see you tomorrow.